You know, a lot of this is new to me. And I've been kind of tentative and reluctant in my kind of journey to embrace and teach people. I feel, so often speaking to you people and people in general, what kind of wisdom might I have, right? What am I tell my older brother about, right? This is how you should be living, Judd. You big old dummy. Just kidding. What am I going to say to him, right? And I'm trying to do better at that. Because, you know, my initial attempt was, I'm just going to try and live the best I can. And then share that with people. And if it resonates, cool. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. But also the fear of, or the uncertainty, the unwillingness to put myself on the line like that, I think detracts from what we're doing here. So I'm going to try and do a little bit better. There was the reason I said that, there's a guy who came up to me and asked me for some advice, and he was afraid. I could see he was afraid, like shaking afraid. And I was like, I don't know what this man is afraid of, but he is scared. And he was asking me to tell him how he could know for sure that he was not going to burn in hell forever. And I was explaining about the love of Jesus and the love of God. And that wasn't good enough. He was like, because I've done some bad things. I was like, okay. That could mean any number of one of things, you know. And so I could tell that he was like looking for more assurance in a traditional way. And so I was like, well, you accepted Jesus into your heart? And he was like, yeah. He's like, you've been baptized, right? Yeah. I was like, well, I think that gets you in, right? But he couldn't. He was looking for a verse or for a something that would be like, okay, it's good. It's all good. When I die, I'm going to have clouds in heaven and gold. And he couldn't understand. And I think it's because of the way the church has grown up. I cannot give that to you, dude. I cannot give it to you. You have to get it yourself. And he's like, well, how do you know? And I said, well, I don't know scientifically. I can't prove it. I believe it. How do you know? Say, when I pray, when I'm calm myself and humble myself and listen to the Holy Spirit, that peace resonates. And it compels me to believe. If it was something that one person could give to another, then why didn't Jesus just give it to everybody? You ever notice how like obtuse the disciples are? He feeds 5,000 people with nothing. And then like 2 weeks later, they're out in the desert. How are we going to feed all these people? Maybe the way I just did it? Right? If the people following Jesus couldn't just be given it, then what hope do I have? What hope did he have? It's only through our own dedication and work that we get anything. And he left unsatisfied. It's like when the rich man comes to Jesus, obviously it's not the same, but the rich man comes to Jesus and says, what do I got to do to be saved? He's looking for the list. And Jesus goes, says, sell everything you own and follow me. It's not about the money. It's about the willingness to let it go and follow him. But the rich man can't do it. That's too scary. I have all this stuff. It's easy if you're broke to give up all your stuff. These things, yeah, cool. That's the nature of it is the courage to let it go and follow. As long as I'm too afraid to step up, not following. But it's scary. It's scary. What am I going to say to this man? I'm going to lie to him? I'm going to make something up to make him feel better? Empty words? It's important and it's good and it's right to do for all of us. Anyhow, that's not even the message. That was just something that occurred to me. That's just the gravy. Anyhow, start out with the history lesson. I think it will tie in pretty well to what I just said. Karl Marx said that religion is the opiate of the masses, meaning that you could drug the populace, take advantage, right? How do some people have so much money they could never spend it all, and other people live in the dirt and the filth? There's more of us poor people than those rich people. Why don't we rise up and eat them, right? But so Karl Marx would say, you don't do that because religion tells you doing those things is bad. Anyhow, but I will say that I don't agree with that, but I will say traditional theology allows people to stay in their current circumstances because their fear is annulled by the belief that they will get their just deserts. Traditional theology has said, I know what I'm doing. Do what I say, and you will get what you want. And in that way, I believe it has held us back. Because if I just got to go up and just listen to the guy, say what he says, and then go home and continue to behave the same way that I did before, well, he's getting my money and I'm stuck in my same position. He's where he wants to be and I'm where I don't want to be. But when Jesus comes, it's like a lightning bolt. People often, you know, when I'm studying and the reading and studying and learning that I've been doing these past few years, there's a lot of murky controversy about the origin of Christianity and Jesus Christ. And so people can use that kind of obscurity to kind of diminish the gospel and what Jesus did. And they use the hypocrisy of the church to point out the flaws of what we're doing here. And I think it's important to remember that Jesus was a carpenter. He was a nobody in the middle of nowhere. And yet he did something remarkable enough that 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. That makes sense. Like, we know who Caesar Augustus is because he killed everybody and then wrote his name everywhere. A poor man in the middle of nowhere, speaking words, did something so dramatic that it changed the fundamental landscape of the place. But here's where it gets twisted. When we're talking about the scriptures, the people who wrote those books are there. There's a message they want us to pick up. They're trying to build a structure. So if you want to build a community, somebody's got to be in charge, right? Somebody's got to meet in the border. What are we going to do with the fence? What are we going to do with the communion? What are we going to do all these things? Those things need to be done. But people being people, it gets all warped. And so the Gospels are written with a message to us. And I'd like to talk about each one over the course of the next few weeks, just briefly, and then I'll get into hopefully what is better. Matthew is a book written to show the Jews of the time that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, there was a big shakeup right around this time. All those pages that Emilio just so wonderfully read, most of those names are Greek names. If you know anything about Jewish society, they have two words for all people on the planet. There's us and there's all of them. Jesus was Jewish, the disciples were Jewish, the whole movement was Jewish until Paul. And so many of the Jews are not liking this idea that their thing is becoming somebody else's thing. When I was a young man, I used to listen to punk rock. And I had a friend who was like, dude, you gotta listen to this new punk rock album by Green Day. Dude, that's not punk rock. And we'd argue about what real punk rock is, what real music is, right? So I liked that band before they were cool, that kind of deal. So the Jews are, we had this, you can't give it to them. So there's this whole kind of discussion about who can be part of this new group, this new community. Matthew wants to show people, the Jews in particular, that Jesus is fulfilling the scriptures of the Old Testament. And so Matthew is different than the other Gospels because of that message. Mark doesn't start until Jesus is baptized. So his birth, there's no angels, there's no shepherds, there's no wise men, there's none of that. Starts, Jesus is baptized by John, Holy Spirit, go. And we'll see what Mark has to say. But Matthew spends the first four chapters of the book, giving Jesus his credentials. So, the first thing he does is the genealogy. All of those names that we can't pronounce. There's 31 names. Starts with Abraham, the father of the Jews. Right? Then there's 14 names till you get to David. Then he's the foundation of the kingdom of the Jews. So you have the foundation of the culture of the Jews, then the foundation of the kingdom. Then, 13 names later, coming to the 14th, is Jesus. Did that make sense? So you have the foundation of the Jews, then the foundation of the kingdom, now the foundation of the Messiah. And he lists those names purposefully. And he goes throughout. I do find it kind of ironic since Jesus isn't Joseph's son. So if Joseph didn't have any part in making Jesus, then why would his lineage be? Anyhow, but the point is, the Jews are looking for a Messiah. Matthew's saying, here it is. And then you see Jesus has he's born. Matthew has the story about Herod and all that kind of stuff. Jesus has to go to Egypt and then come back from Egypt. Who also was in Egypt and came out of Egypt? Moses, right? Establishing the credentials. All of the things. So Jews reading the book at the time would say, oh yeah, okay, I get it. You see what I'm saying? That's the message Matthew is trying to say. Jews of the time, you're looking for a Messiah, here he is. You know how I know? You know in Isaiah where it says he's born of a virgin? Boom, check it out. You know where it says about Moses and Abraham? Boom, check it out. They're trying to retcon to check all the boxes. Because they're trying to build a church. And that, in my opinion, is where it goes wrong. As soon as you shift your focus from your own journey to trying to convince people. If I was sitting with that man and was trying to make up things that would convince him, then I'm no longer looking at my own life with integrity, and therefore there is no more growth. It has to be about us. Anyhow, that was the history lesson. What I'd actually want to talk about today is about self-esteem and growth. And speaking of Matthew, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, we're going to pick up at 19. But before we get to 19, Jesus is talking, these are the biblical scholars call them the antitheses. Jesus is talking about the law of Moses and how he's coming to write a new law. So he says, Moses told you not to murder, but I say, if you hate somebody, then you have murdered in your heart. That whole one. Moses says not to lust to covet your neighbor's wife. I say, if you've lusted, you've already done it. Right? So it's all of that that he comes to say, verse 19. 18 and 19. So that by your fasting you will be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's the last verse for me that really seals it. You know, money has been used as a byword for bad. Because in the past, and I guess the present, people who have used their power and money to maintain the status quo, right? But I would argue that money, just like any other thing, is not good or bad. It's the person's intentions behind it. Jesus is talking about all of the things. It's not about murder. It's about not even hating. It's not about cheating on your wife. It's about not even lusting. It's not about giving so everybody will see. It's about having that spirit of generosity in your heart. It's not about showing everybody what you do, how good you are. It's about what's really inside. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if your treasure is all of the likes on Instagram, that's what you're going to be focusing on. And that will rot away. That's not going to bring the happiness. That's not going to give you what you're looking for. If your treasure is just accumulating stuff, that's where your heart is. That's where your drive is. That's what you're putting into the world. That's going to rot away. That's not going to make you happy. If you're creating a business that you love and you make money because of it, that's not bad. We all need that. But if your sole desire is to make money through whatever means, you yourself will reap the consequences. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. All of the pastors who build up the church and then get caught cheating on their wives with a secretary because their treasure was building it up. See how much I got? See what I do? See how holy I am? The verse that Emilio just read about Paul. He goes on for like 10 verses. You all saw me, right, when it was hard, but I still did it. You all saw me when I didn't get money, but I could have, but I didn't. The treasure is where your heart is. If you're a phony, even if you trick everyone else, you'll know. He'll know. And that counterfeit will eat you alive. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. But I would flip that into a positive spin as well. Because if my treasure is already inside of me and my own growth and happiness, then I'm already happy now. And anything that I get on top of that is extra. We had the rat come back, but I think I got it, dude. I think I got it. And I know you're not supposed to hate, but I hated that rat. And as I took it out to the trash, I was like, boom, got you. I'm the king of the castle around here. But I kept on thinking, dude, if I could do this to the kitchen, if I could do that, then if I did that, then I'd be able to eat like this. And if I was eating like that, then I'd be able to, right? If this, then this. If this, then this. If this, then this. If I get this thing, then I'll have that, and then I'll be happy. If I do this, then I'll get that, and then I'll be happy. But if you're not happy now, there is no amount that will make you happy. If I'm not happy right now, there's no amount of non-rats in my house that will ever make me happy. I got to shift my focus. I can't worry about trying to convince this man that Jesus loves him. Jesus already does. Nothing I can say or do will change that in any way. But if I can live my way, my life in such a way that I am peace and I am calm and I am love, then maybe I might be an example that he could see and start to work on himself. You think that I could be like Zechariah 15:7 says, and then he'd be like, oh, snap, dude. Yeah, okay, thanks, man. See you later. If he's already that way, the only thing I can try to do is be an example of an alternative. My treasure can't be trying to fix him. My treasure can't be trying to show. Because if my treasure is out there trying to be something else, then the emptiness in here will eventually manifest and show itself. And sooner or later, they'll find out you're a fraud, dude. But if my treasure is in here, is in working on myself, having the integrity to work on myself, whether there's 8 people or 80 people or 8,000 people, then the benefits of my work will show themselves. And then instead of me running around trying to tell people, listen, you got to do this, you got to do this, people will come up to me and say, hey man, I'm having trouble. What do you think? Well, I used to be that way, and I've gained this amount of freedom from it, and I did it by this way. You can't be a guru if you're miserable. You can't lead other people to a truth you don't know. You got to decide where your treasure is. Where is it? We complain about our job. The job's always been the same. It's you, it's me. There's people at Trader Joe's sound as a pound. And there's people at Trader Joe's just gritting their teeth. The job is the same. It's the person who's in it. You think if you get a better job, you're going to bring your same miserable self? I have a friend who used to work at Trader Joe's, and she was constantly talking about what she was going to be and what she was going to do. Right? I'm going to have my own business. I'm going to be my own boss. I'm going to make money. I'm going to manifest it through the universe. I was like, great, man, that's so awesome. But the problem was she kept on behaving the same way she had always had. I'm going to be my own boss. Well, you smoke weed all day and hang out at the beach. Unless you're building a business of smoking weed at the beach, you're going to have a hard time. Your treasure is chilling. Your treasure is feeling good. That's where your treasure is. That's where your heart is. And that's where you will remain. And it's not like I'm judging, like, you idiot, I'm so much smarter. If that's what you truly want, then do it. But you keep on telling me that you want all these other things, and yet you keep on remaining exactly where you are. There's a wise man, his name is Confucius. He says, you can't be happy by clinging to the past or the present. Here's his quote, the one who would be constant in happiness must frequently change. The one who would be constant in happiness must frequently change. If you are at complete bliss, peace, and happiness, then please come up here and I'll sit down and tell me how to do that. But I'm not. So I got to keep looking. I figured out some of my issues, and I'm working on those. But I got to keep on adapting. I got to keep on changing. Confucius said that centuries before Jesus was born. Because because he had the same Holy Spirit in him who was telling him the same thing. So when Jesus comes much later, he says, he who would keep his life would lose it. But he who would lose his life will keep it. The same thing. If you're trying to keep the status quo, you're never going to be happy. You're always going to be miserable. Your life is just going to be... But you got to give it up and change and follow me. So right now I'm doing better than I was. But the Holy Spirit still has plans for me. He still has plans for me. And whatever his plans are, I got to be willing to follow them. I have to be willing to change, to keep going. It's one of the things I love so much about my father. I don't even like telling people he's a pastor because then that just like, they have this vision about him. That's not him, dude. The change, that picture that we have of him, so awesome, right? He could have just stayed like that. We'd still be in maroon sing. I don't know now, but. But his integrity compelled him to move forward. Why, Dad, you have what you want, right? There's people in the thing. They're all looking at you. The people are singing. We're all dancing and clapping. That's not where his treasure was. The Holy Spirit called him forward. How many would do the same? Yeah, but if I tell them about the Bible, dude, then they're going to leave. What if they leave? The integrity to follow. That's what I want to be like. That and even more. When Dad was up here, he wasn't okay. I did it now. Constantly going. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. If that also includes cleaning up the kitchen, awesome. But if it doesn't, that does not matter. Because my treasure's got to be here. Jude bugged me for a cat. And when I say bugged, Justina, I mean hassled and harangued me. I'll give you up to half my kingdom, Jude, if you just stop talking about a cat. Now she got two kittens. Guess where she is right now? Loving those kittens right now. How long before she doesn't want to take care of those kittens anymore? Any takers? Over, under? Right? I love the kittens too. I can't help it, Connie. I start talking like an idiot. Did you go poop in the thing? Yes, you did go poop in the thing. Right? I can't help it. I love them too. They're named Gadget and Gizmo. And they were pouncing on each other and running around and smelling up the whole house with the poop. Those cats going to make me happy for infinity? My new PlayStation 5? The new job? When I finally get to quit Trader Joe's and tell that old lady to find her own almond milk? Any amount of wealth or prestige or success? Could I find the perfect woman? Is there anything out there that will make me happier than I currently am now? The treasure has got to be in here. It has to be. And it is. It is. That's the thing. That's the joke. It's ironic. It's already inside. It's just a matter of whether or not you look at it. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price. A man discovers it and he sells all that he has to get that pearl. Is he actually talking about a big rock? No. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man found in a field. And he gives up everything he has. Well, is money good or bad? You selling things to get treasure? That's not what it means. The kingdom of heaven is already inside. But you have to be willing to give up your preconceived notions of what should be. Oh, once I get this, then I'll be happy. Then I can look for the kingdom of heaven. How am I going to look for the kingdom of heaven? I'm working two jobs, Emilio. Come on. I got two kids and now two cats. And a couple mice. And look for the kingdom of heaven, bro. I'm busy. I'm being kind of snarky today. Sorry. It's already here inside of me. When I take the time, like Judd said, we live in this gorgeous world. People in Sri Lanka, do you think that if they could have my position right now, that they'd be like, no, nuts to that. I heard he's got a mouse in his house. They would give it all up and move here, and I already got it. But what's more is, I have peace that passes understanding. I have infinite love. I have grace, because I don't deserve it. But he gives it to me anyways. He gives it to me. He gave it to me 20 years ago. But I couldn't see it. I was so miserable. I was so miserable that I tried to make my, just numb the pain. Why would you be so miserable? Your parents loved you. You had a great family. But I couldn't see it because my treasure was, where is it? Where is it? So I was miserable every day. I'd drink for a little bit and forget. Smoke a little bit and forget. Was there anything that I could ever do that would fill? It wasn't until, really till my dad got sick that I was kind of so shook out of my unconscious stupor. Ooh. The monolith that was my father. It wasn't until I realized I might lose him. What else have I been taking for granted? How often did I sit there and not enjoy my time with him? How many times did I scoff with my arms folded? How much did I waste? It wasn't until I took the time to look inside. Like, oh my God. Maybe I don't know everything. Could you imagine a fate worse than that? Only then, when it was, not only do you not know anything, Gabe, not know everything, you don't know anything. You've been wrong, like dead wrong, extremely wrong, like the wrongest. Only with that knowledge could I then begin to seek answers. Only then could I begin to hear the voice. And only then could I grow, because it was only then that I stopped looking out there for my happiness. And I started looking inside. Only then could I build self-esteem and self-worth. Confidence is not arrogance. It's the humility to know that you're not better than anyone and that nobody's better than you. And in that humility, you can change. And in that change, you can grow. And in that growth, you can find the peace and happiness that you want. The kingdom of heaven. It's at hand. It's inside. The pearl of great price. Somebody said, I'll give you $1 billion, but you got to go back 10 years and be that person again. $1 billion. I'm just joking. Because I would have just frittered it away. on drugs, girls, and rock and roll. If it was out there, then the members of Motley Crue would be the happiest gurus in all the... It wasn't out there. The one who would be constant in happiness must frequently change. Jesus says, set your hand to the plow and don't look back. You got to keep moving forward. This week in your life, be mindful. The enemy tries to lie to you. He'll point out some negative aspect of your work and then make you resent the whole thing. Your job allows you to put food in your mouth, feed your children. Without Trader Joe's, my kids wouldn't be able to waste all the food I buy. You can go into class and one kid could act, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at that one kid. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. And then all of a sudden, somebody says, how do you do? How was my day? You'll never believe what this kid said to me. You'll never believe it. The treasure is in here. Realize that, and your job will be good. Your marriage will be good. Your life will be good. Your children will be good. Because the more you're focusing in here, you have the peace to deal with what's out there. It is good and it's right. That man couldn't see it. And I couldn't show it to him. Yeah, but how do you know? Yeah, but how do you know? And he is focused entirely on his fear. And his life is just passing him by. And he'll never know for sure until he's there. It is good and it is right. It's good and it's right. We are capable of so much. Close with this. We are capable of so much. We are capable of so much. And yet we spend all our time thinking about what we don't have or what we have that we don't want. I was having a wonderful time with my children. They were cooking steak and I was cooking oatmeal or something boring. And then Aiden turned on the something or other and the sink started to leak. And when the sink started to leak, the mouse, who is now dead, ran out from under the sink and Judy screeched. And Aiden goes, bruh. And he scurried away or whatever. And my whole world changed. I started thinking about that mouse. And then I started thinking about my own failure to have fixed the kitchen or whatever. And then I started feeling sorry for myself. I threw the biggest pity party. You guys were invited, but you didn't show up. Todd. And I started thinking of all of the negative things. And here I was with my two children, having a wonderful time, laughing and enjoying life, the kingdom of heaven snatched away in a moment. And I didn't realize it until we had all stopped eating and went back. And I was like, oh, the Holy Spirit told me, Gabe, you just wasted it. Just wasted it. My son's 19 now. And I just wasted it. I just wasted it. Thinking about the mouse and the plumbing. Had I focused on my love for my children, everything would have played out exactly the same, except I would have enjoyed it. I would have reaped those benefits. Because it's in here. The pearl of great price is my children and our love, our home that we share, my friends and family, the love of the Lord. It's all right here, and no TV or video game will surpass that. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week in your lives, in your relationships, in your jobs. And remember the pearl of great price that you have right now. You always have it. It's just whether or not you remember to look at it. Thank you for this time, because you remind me that I got it too. That man has it. You can't see it. My friend from Trader Joe's. Burning down trees on the beach. She's got it. We have it. Just got to remember to look at it. Thank you. Please bow your heads and I'll close in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. You created this world that we live in. You created the things that we love. And you've given us the tool to find you. To find you in every aspect of our world. Help us to remember that, Lord. Help us to follow it wherever it may lead. Give us patience with the people around us. They may not be able to see it. Help us be gracious to them just as you are gracious with us. Help us to lead the lives that you would have us live for our own peace and happiness and understanding, just the way you intend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.